Agricultural programming on WILL is made possible by AgriGold Hybrids, funding agricultural programming as an additional service to the many AgriGold customers in the AM 580 listening area. AgriGold, the corn specialists. More information is at agrigold.com or at 800-262-7333.
And it's time now for us to find out what's happening on the Board of Trade and the Mercantile Exchange. With our opening report, here's Dave Dickey. Hi, Dave.
Good morning, Dan, and good Friday morning, everyone. Let's check out prices fared and the resumption of trading. We gave the overnight opens at 8:49 Central Time. In Kansas City, May wheat opened at 11:40, down 42.5 on the open. At the Chicago Board of Trade, March wheat opened at 10:89, down 25 on the open. May, 10:96, down 29. July, 10:45, down 30. September, 10:55, down 45. December, 10:63, down 37.5. July of 2009, 9:69, down 33.5 on the open. March corn opened at 5:46, down 11 on the open. May, 5:56.5, down 3/4. July, 5:66, down 13. September, 5:66, down 13. December, 5:65, down 14.25. March of 2009, 5:76, down 10.75. July, 5:80, down 14. December, 5:43, down 10 on the open. March beans opened at 14:05, down 38 on the open. May, 14:10, down 48.75. July, 14:30, down 41. August, 14:15, down 45. September, 13:70, down 35. November, 13:18, down 43.5. January of 2009, 13:37, down 32. May, 13:35, down 40. July, 13:40, down 40 on the open. March feeders opened at 140, up 60 on the open. April live cattle opened at 90.30, up 35 on the open. April lean hogs opened at 58, up 60 on the open. March bellies opened at 84.60, up 10 on the open. Going back to the grain side, March soybean meal opened at 356, down $8 on the open. May, 360, down 10.30. March soybean oil opened at 62.50, down 120 on the open. May, 63.33, down $2. Audio from the 2008 All-Day Agricultural Outlook meeting is now available on our website, willag.org. Click on the link in the right navigation pane. The meeting was made possible by the Andersons, Cargill, and the Archer Daniels Midland Company.
Today's broadcast is made possible with support from First Midwest Bank, serving the banking needs of Illinois' agricultural community with locations in Champaign, Danville, Galesburg, Morris, and McHenry. More information is available from Kathy Ferguson in Morris at 815-941-3758. First Midwest Bank, member FDIC, an equal housing lender.
Joining us on the phone to talk about the markets is Mike Zuzolo of Risk Management Commodities in Lafayette, Indiana. Good morning, Mike.
Good morning, Dave.
We have a lot of ground to cover today, Mike.
And I'll keep my answer short.
Let's begin with the jobs report, which has thrown traders for a loop. They got it on the wrong side.
Yeah, they really did. A much more disappointing jobs report, I think, than the trade was probably thinking, and kind of confirms some of the issues that we've had here about the outside markets. The stock market's been two-sided trade here, down hard in the beginning, now trying to come back here, Dave. But the overall picture continues to be that the economy's, you know, slipping into a recession, and this morning's report kind of adds to that fuel on the fire.
Second thing to talk about is the guesses for next Tuesday's ending stocks report. Average trade guess for wheat is 263, corn 1.435, soybeans 153. But I got to tell you, Mike, what I want to see is what happens on the demand side underneath those top numbers.
Yeah, that's right. I mean, the bean number, a little bit of surprises there. There's a couple firms out there below 150. That's something to watch out for. I'm like you, though, Dave. The demand is really going to be the key. I think that the problem with these reports next week is you're not going to get any 08-09 data. I was actually thinking that 08-09 would come out with some of this. I talked to our Dow Jones contact after we sent our estimates up, and he said, no, we're going to wait for USDA to talk first about 08-09 before we go ahead and step in front of it. So I don't know if a lot of the demand is going to be showing up here in 07-08 as far as big changes. But it is something to watch. We have seen some cancellations in corn and beans the last 2 weeks in a row. on the weekly export sales reports, and that's something I think the market's taking more note of, the trade's taking more note of. It seems like the wider basis is also kind of giving the idea that the demand in corn especially, and beans too, is starting to peak here in the short term. So we'll see if USDA has anything to say about that or if they keep everything pretty much same old until we get into the April numbers.
The third thing we want to talk about is the U.S. dollar, which yet again today has hit another all-time low. And you have noted in the past that you can be too low on the U.S. dollar. Can you take us through the logic of why? I mean, it seems counterintuitive.
It does. And I think it's simply put, Dave, at some point, the U.S. dollar dropping, every time the U.S. dollar has dropped here the last 9 months, you've seen the crude oil markets go higher and the gold markets go higher. At some point, though, when that dollar drops and that crude oil goes higher, the Fed policy is doing one good thing by lowering rates and keeping liquidity high, but they're also throwing the fuel on the fire to have more speculative inflation, more inflationary pressures in energy. Perfect example is we've run up over $20 a barrel in crude oil since the lows of February, yet we've built supplies here in the United States 6 out of the last 7 weeks and are running above the five-year average or close to the five-year average's supply range in crude oil. So what would explain why we would have such a surge in crude oil futures prices and therefore gasoline prices at the pump? Why would we have that when we're building supplies? And I think our answer would be, from the analysis we've done, it's because the Fed policy of lowering interest rates is keeping the dollar pressured, and that brings the financial sector and the market participants into buying more crude, more energies. And I think that's something that we're going to really have to watch here, because we're getting news reports. I'm getting news reports from Reuters. I'm getting news reports from Bloomberg now that there's some financial issues going on where maybe investment funds are liquidating positions in corn and beans and wheat to meet margin calls in different financial arenas. And we have seen some problems with some hedge funds and some banks, bigger banks, pulling in the reins on some of their hedge fund clients to say, you need more liquidity, you need more capital, you cannot use as much leverage as you're used to because our credit markets are tight, and the mortgage market fallout is starting to affect this. So this is something that's unfolding, and it's really got to be watched as we progress through the next few weeks, because like we were talking about internally here, you can have the supply and demand fundamentals and talk all you want about the world stocks and the demand and the supply of the microeconomic fundamentals, but if you've got funds liquidating positions for reasons that have nothing to do with the grain supply and demand fundamentals, it's going to make your world very hard this year.
Turning our attention then to the technical side of the market and the November soybean chart. Since Tuesday, when we had that key reversal to the downside, before the opening bell today, we lost $1.52 and a quarter. That's from the overnight last night, which now begs the question, where is the logical support lines? And I'm wondering if it might be as low as 1272 to 1273.
Very possible. And, you know, the 50-day moving average is right underneath that at around 1245. Those numbers would work well if you look at a May composite chart, too, Dave. If you draw the off the high and the August low we put in last August, May beans, their first Fibonacci retracement of about 38% is right around $13. The 50-day moving average in May beans composite chart is around 1320. Those numbers all work well with the November finding support around the 1240, 1250, 1260 level. I got to believe also that at some point the fundamentals, unless this hedge fund issue becomes more and more important and more a player in the composite picture of how the trade is going, that somewhere down the road here the traders are going to come in and bottom pick ahead of the March 31st report and say, we still need new crop corn and bean acres. Let's not kill off the new crop price is too hard. Let's try and bottom pick ahead of the 31st report. So that's something to watch for. But an initial 50 to 60 cents more downside technically in November is not hard to see at all, given how much more the May has to fall to get to that Fibonacci level.
For corn, has the wet winter reached the minds of the traders yet? Is it on their radar?
It is. And, you know, we picked up for the first time middle of the week that there are some people in Chicago now saying we've bought the bean acres and we're back to needing more corn acres. This has been very evident in that bean-corn ratio, which has been hit hard this past 6 or 7 trading days. So, yes, the weather is coming into play and spurring off that idea is that we've got plenty of bean acres and we're still needing corn acres. I still got to believe that the bull spreads are going to work in the corn if this market is a demand-led market. And with the USDA Ag Attaché lowering the Chinese production last year of corn by 6% earlier this week on a report, I got to think that brings the front-end market some more support. So that I would think that in, at the end of the day, between now and the next 60 days until we get planted, the corn has some supportive features to it. But by the same token, look at where we're at in price, and that's exactly why we're recommending those puts. And the way we talked at the beef house meeting is exactly what we want to do because of these factors that are still yet to be determined.
Yeah, the spread falling in corn beans some 50, well, it looks like about 52 cents since February 25th or thereabouts.
It has been immense, and it clearly is a sign that we don't need any more bean acres in Chicago's opinion. I think that's where maybe Tuesday's report may bring some of that back around and maybe make them think twice about it. If we do come below 150 in the USDA 07-08 balance sheet for bean ending stocks, then maybe the trade will start to refigure those numbers and say maybe we do need 71 to 72 million bean acres minimum at this point. So we'll have to watch for that.
Thank you, Mike.
Thanks, Dave. Have a great day.
You too. Mike Zuzulo of Risk Management Commodities. You're listening to WILO Urbana.